This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. American troops clashed with rioters carrying pictures of Saddam Hussein in a Baghdad suburb Friday, and heavy smoke billowed from the mayor's office in a city west of the capital following a big explosion. In northern Iraq, American troops sealed off the village where Saddam was born and began issuing identity cards to the villagers to determine who can move in and out. There were conflicting claims about what triggered the clash at Abu Ghraib. Iraqi said it broke out when U.S. troops tried to clear market stalls from a main road, but a U.S. officer said it began with a grenade attack against American soldiers that left two of them wounded. The first helicopter pilot to see the flames that would become the catastrophic Cedar Fire radioed for aerial water drops, but state firefighters rejected his request because it came minutes after such flights had been grounded for the night. Pilot Dave Weldon told the AP he called for help because his dispatcher had relayed of smoke in the area but got no response. He said he then called for backup, including a second helicopter with a 120-gallon water dump bucket. The second helicopter flew within 5 miles of the fire before state officials told it to turn back. Two CIA operatives were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan while hunting for terrorists, the agency said Tuesday. The deaths were the latest indication that the largely secret war in Afghanistan is far from over. Heavy fighting continued Tuesday as at least 22 Taliban guerrillas were killed in a U.S.-led air attack in the southeastern Paktika province. Their deaths in an ambush highlight the dangers faced by small patrols of U.S. forces in the mountainous region of Afghanistan near the border of Pakistan. Villagers in this region are often loyal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and can tip off enemy fighters about U.S. patrols. An internal report that harshly criticized the Justice Department's diversity efforts was edited so heavily when it was posted on the department's website 2 weeks ago that half of its 186 pages, including the summary, were blacked out. The deleted passages, electronically recovered by the website thememoryhole.org, portrayed the department's record on diversity as seriously flawed, specifically in the hiring, promotion, and retention of minority lawyers. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A man riding a Metro North train in New York dropped his cell phone into a toilet and got his arm stuck trying to retrieve it Thursday, forcing the train to stop and delaying the evening commute for thousands of people. The Bronx man was stuck with his arm in the toilet for 90 minutes, causing passenger evacuation, and thousands of commuters were delayed because the train sat blocking the platform as the rescue work continued. The phone has not yet been recovered. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Halloween. Seven and a half past the hour. Good evening, truth seekers, or should I say good evening, truth seekers? Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Happy Halloween. Happy Samhain. Program produced by Catherine Bay, as always. Robin Bittman will announce for us tonight, unless some stray ghoul walks in and wants to do it. We have some stuff planned for you this evening, so stick around. And I've been told that Tony Trupiano will be substituting for me Monday and Tuesday while I get my mouth drilled. Talk about your real-life Halloween horror stories. I'm not looking forward to that. Oh, my God. Shelby LePre at RadioPower.org wanted me to mention once again her apparently monthly fundraiser trying to pay the bills to keep Radio Power online. I know a lot of folks get the program through RadioPower.org, so maybe pay that site a visit and toss her a couple of bucks. Would you do that? RadioPower.org. Jason emailed this in on my comment. Was it last night about presidents who have lied to us? And I was talking about Roosevelt trying to get us into World War II for probably honorable reasons, and that the Roosevelt administration had advanced knowledge that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor and did nothing. Jason emails in, Mike, you're a little wrong, not arguing about whether Roosevelt knew or not. I study history, a hobby. World War II is my favorite. Anywhere you go on the web, we didn't break the Japanese military code until before Midway. We broke the Japanese diplomatic code, but that would have told us nothing because the Japanese military conducted the attacks and the Japanese ambassador didn't even know about the attack. He was treated rudely when he came to deliver a notice that his government was breaking relations. He found out then. Okay. I guess there's a couple of points of view on that. Thanks, Jason. This is Samhain, the last harvest, the end of summer, in the old Celtic tradition. So blessed be to those of you who still subscribe to the old religions. You know, the Celts were doing fine until the Romans messed it up, and then the Christians messed it up even further. But this celebration of Samhain, the Celts celebrated, let me read for you here, their new year on November 1st. That was the beginning of the new year. The day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Celts believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. On the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to Earth. In addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids, who were the Celtic priests, to make predictions about the future. And for a people entirely dependent upon the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long dark winter. To commemorate the event, Druids built huge sacred bonfires for the people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. During the celebration, the Celts wore costumes typically consisting of animal heads and skins and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. When the celebration was over, they relit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier that evening, from the sacred bonfire to help protect them during the coming winter. It's a good holiday. I like Halloween. It isn't about the only one left that still has deep roots into the old religion. I think it is. I'm not talking about the lesser Sabbats, not like waxing moon festival or waning moon festival or the what else is there? The spring and fall equinox, so on and so forth. So, in light of that, a Samhain poem for you, okay? This is by Deborah Hollins. As the sun god descends his throne, gives rain over to the crone, I pray thee, sorrow, take your leave from mine house and me. Lord Don, I beseech you, grant passage to your hall, the dead spirits I sustain, grant passage to them all, and within the good earth sleeps and gentle mother does retreat to her chamber in the mound to rest with the maiden soft and sound. Queen of spirits, I do seek a pathway to your cauldron of rebirth. I beckon thee, choose me when all is done. The veils between the worlds are thin. Hearken to the whispering din of honored ancestors who bless us with their memory. Ancient heroes of mine folk, the way is clear to mine door. Enter and impart to me your wisdom, I implore. Let the year pass this night, and with the morrow's dawning light, may spirits both alive and dead walk in peace in the year ahead. So a cabbie picks up a nun. She gets into the cab, and the cab driver won't stop staring at her. She asks him why he is staring, and he replies, I have a question to ask you, but I don't want to offend you. She answers, my dear son, you cannot offend me. When you're as old as I, and have been a nun as long as I, you get a chance to see and hear just about everything. I'm sure that there's nothing you could say or ask that I would find offensive. Well, sister, I've always had a fantasy to have a nun kiss me. She responds, well, let's see what we can do about that. Number one, you have to be single, and number two, you must be Catholic. Cab driver is very excited. He says, yes, I am single, and I'm Catholic, too. Okay, the nun says, pull into the next alley. He does, and the nun fulfills his fantasy with a kiss that would make a hooker blush. But when they get back on the road, the cab driver starts crying. My dear child, said the nun, why are you crying? Forgive me, sister, but I've sinned. I lied, I must confess. I'm married, and I'm Jewish. The nun says, that's okay. My name is Hank, and I'm on my way to a Halloween party. Thanks, Doc. Doc emailed that in. I'm not sure what to do tonight. There's so many real-life horror stories, and I know this audience loves the real-life horror stories. We have demons striding the country even as we speak, named Rumsfeld and Cheney and Bush and Ashcroft. Oh, my God, Ashcroft vomited up out of the very bowels of hell. Yes, we do. But maybe tonight we should try to drift into the the more supernatural. If you want to, if you got a favorite Halloween story, a ghost story, urban legend, real life horror story, The Pit and the Pendulum, Bloody Mary, Sleepy Hollow, and Coltergeist. Oh, wait a minute. Just whatever. If you want to do this. If not, we'll go back to the raging, frothing, foaming program that we do every night. Eventually tonight we'll probably get to that anyway, because it's impossible to sustain a theme through a three-hour program, right? There's some Halloween tips here, thanks to the Landover Baptist Church, where the worthwhile worship and the unsaved are not welcome. LandoverBaptistChurch.org, if you would like to partake of their many offerings there. They have some Halloween tips for holy wieners. If you are one of those who believe that Halloween is nothing more than a celebration of evil, and you have children coming to your door, the Landover Baptist Church minister of youth has some suggestions, and I shall share a few of these with you now. Here's one. Wait for unsaved children to come to your door, and then hurl a bucket of warm lamb's blood all over their hair and faces. Goat or dog blood can be substituted later in the night if you run out. And as you hurl this blood, shout, "I plead the power of the blood of the perfect lamb over you. Take that, foul demon." No? Here's another idea from Landover Baptist Church. You yourself dress up as the freshly resurrected Christ. To make your costume as realistic as possible, A, use your mother's sewing needles to poke holes in your hands and stomach. B, wear bluish makeup to look like someone who has been dead and lying around in a cave for a couple of days. And C, stuff 5 pounds of week-old hamburger meat in your pockets to smell like rotting flesh. And then sneak up behind people, grab them, turn them around, look in the eyes and scream, "Why have you forsaken me?" And then slap them very hard across the face with a palm full of rancid hamburger meat. It will usually scare the living hell out of little children, and they are sure to remember their first experience with Jesus for the rest of their pathetic lives. These are really good. Oh, my God. Here's another one. Offer to exchange your giant treat bag with the small bag of an unsaved child. And when he gets home, expecting candy, he opens the bag. Surprise! Bibles! Oh, my God. What else we got here? Vincent Price may have thought he was scary, but nothing touches the Lord when it comes to the gruesome and macabre. With baby dolls and ketchup, use your front lawn to stage a realistic reenactment of when the Lord got jealous of Sumerians worshiping a rival god and ordered that their children be hacked to pieces and their pregnant women experience the Lord's abortion by sword calling card directly from Hosea chapter 13, verse 16. That's a good one. What else? When trick-or-treaters... now, this is all from LandoverBaptistChurch.org, or LandoverBaptist.org. Leave the church off. When trick-or-treaters come to your door, tell them you are no different from the Lord Jesus when it comes to playing host to sinners. Then take them into your basement, where the heater is set as hot as it will go, and torture them! And here's my favorite. This works here in the South. Trust me, I've been here for 35 or 40 years. Place a burning cross in your front yard. Dress your kids up as ghosts. Form a circle around the cross. And sing hymns all night. Landover Baptist Church, where the worthwhile worship and the unsaved are not welcome. That's a great sight. A British designer, Dave Rogerson, had a life-size mechanical terrier that he either bought or he owned. Well, I'll finish this in a second. This is a pretty good story, too. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Like an angel, walk like an angel, talk like an angel, but I got one
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff. Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us and slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Don't forget, stick around tonight because we have some interesting stuff, and you never know when it's going to appear. Now, this quick novelty toy dog, this is a dog that farts. It breaks wind, and it's life-size mechanical terrier. And the guy who owns it is from England. He's from Leeds, from Thorner, Leeds, in England. And he was at the Norfolk, Virginia airport in this country, and he had his dog. And armed security staff at the airport were alerted when the toy's wind-breaking mechanism registered as a high explosive on sensitive monitoring equipment. So this guy, what's his name, Dave Rogerson, he's 31, from England. He was questioned by FBI agents. And he looked on in amazement as the FBI agents took a series of swabs from the mechanical toy's ass end. we're crazy over here, aren't we? We are just absolutely... What was it the other day at the August halls of Congress? Some staffer brought a little toy plastic gun or something for a costume, and it set off something, and somebody saw it, and they locked down the entire city? Or was it the two states, Virginia and Maryland? Who knows? Anyway, this Brit guy, the toy animal, was eventually returned to him, but he was not allowed to take his planned flight and had to take an alternative route to North Carolina. The guy, Dave Rogerson, said, there's no humor at American check-ins, and for about 20 minutes I was quite scared. They told me this is the highest reading they had for explosives, and they took it very seriously. They were convinced there was something explosive in the dog. Eventually, the FBI decided the toy was harmless and returned it to him. He has now named the toy dog Norfolk after the airport. Oh, my God. Robert is calling from, he's our L.A. correspondent. That's right. Well, obviously, you'd be calling from L.A. Hey, Robert, you haven't burned up yet, huh?
No.
Oh, good. I'm
caught catching a cold, you know, sniffling, coughing, and all that cheerful stuff.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, your house hasn't burned down.
No.
Okay, good.
Okay, farting dogs, Jesus, the person pretending to be Jesus with some rotten meat.
Yeah.
God bless America.
Amen and amen.
Well, let's talk about 65 years ago, the birth of the naivete and the stupidity and the term American sheeple.
Yeah.
65 years ago, December 31st, 1938, the broadcast of War of the Worlds.
Yes, indeed. That was, I've read like you have about that. People were absolutely freaking. They were just going crazy.
Yeah, you know, you can, and how you can just imagine where were those people now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need them today because, you know, with the way things are going now.
We've been invaded again. Only this time is for real, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, we've been invaded by a dog that breaks wind. Oh, my God.
Well,
we need to do something about this.
Well, we've also been invaded by neo-fascist Republicans, too.
Yeah, and real quickly, speaking of another science fiction movie which has been re-released, Alien.
Yeah.
Now, one of the subplots of the movie set aside the big ugly monster who looks like, I don't know, you know, what?
Barbara Bush.
And he ain't that ugly. Anyway, the alien, one of the characters was a robot,
right.
And he was working for the company that's going to try to get the alien because of its blood was made for weapon purposes and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, you know, and I read this in the article, I said to myself, you know, this really reminds me of this administration. They seem like everybody's just completely expandable. The military, the people who oppose the war.
That sounds like a weapon that Rumsfeld would insist on having invented. You know, he's already got a plan to have robots fight World War IV. I hear you. Hey, Robert, thanks for checking in.
All right, man. Peace out, man.
All right. Same back at you. Take care. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Nocturnal vacation. Unnecessary sedation. Inside you're gonna feel right at home. Welcome to my nightmare.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Thank you. made life easier for Americans during the past century, but it could be a growing source of trouble over the next. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Richard Heinberg says the world is fast approaching the day when there won't be any more oil in the ground, but he says that's a taboo subject for our elected leaders.
No politician wants to be identified with the message that we have to conserve and cut back and change our lifestyle. In fact, Vice President Cheney even said it right up front. He said, the American way of life is non-negotiable. If that's true, then what are we going to do to maintain the American way of life?
Heinberg is the author of a new book called The Party's Over. He says the United States already imports 60% of the oil it uses, and that number is steadily climbing as our energy needs rise and our own oil production continues to fall.
Eventually, that puts us in competition, and probably military competition, with most of the other major consuming countries, including not only Europe, but also China. And it's hard to see any kind of end to that process that's something we would want for our children or grandchildren.
Heinberg says we need to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in alternative energy research and development. But he says there's nothing to compare to the concentrated power found in oil deposits, not solar, not wind, not hydrogen.
We've become accustomed to having this incredibly cheap, abundant, reliable energy. That's what we're not going to have around. If we plan properly and make the investments, we will have energy sources, but we're going to have to use them in a much more parsimonious and careful and conservative way.
Heinberg says being conservative with energy would be a good thing, but he says it's going to mean some major changes in the American way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy. Don't be left out.
Or something. Happy Samhain, happy Halloween, whatever. We are departing, if you're just joining us, departing just a tad from our usual formulaic approach to screaming left-wing radio tonight. We will have a certain amount of screaming, for sure. Some of it related to Halloween, some of it related to the Bush crime family. But just as a sort of a little bit of a difference, I will be off Monday and Tuesday. Tony Truppiano will be substituting while I go have holes drilled in inside my mouth. This is going to be great fun, isn't it, Kathy? Oh, Jesus. Carl is calling from Atlanta. Hey, Carl.
Hey, man, what's going on?
You are.
Well, you know what? I'd never heard your show before. My friend Jason, who met you over at CNN the other day, turned me on to your show, and I think it's a blast. I think you're great, and I'm glad that you're here to
well, thank you.
To the left.
You know, I used to be on a radio station here in Atlanta, but no more.
Yeah, listen online.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you found it. I'm glad Jason turned you on to the program.
Well, we're getting dressed for Halloween tonight.
Well, what's your costume?
I am going as the Statue of Liberty with a black eye and a sticker over my mouth that says Patriot Act.
You ought to see if you can find a huge boot sticking out of your rear end, too. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that might be a little bit painful just for one holiday.
Well, it would. You know, if you could use it for more than one holiday. But
my friend Jason is going as the idiot dressed in prison, black and white.
Oh, I like that.
With a chain around his neck that says war criminal.
I like that. I like that.
And a mask of George W. Bush.
And a little sign that says Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
Exactly.
Right. That's great. Where are y'all going?
We're just going out on the town in Atlanta.
House parties or out to clubs and stuff?
Clubs, maybe a party.
Great, great. Well, yeah. We'd love to join you, but we are doing this radio program. However, we have parties to go to tomorrow night.
Well, I'm just hoping that we don't get kicked out for the costumes being a little bit too severe.
No, I don't think so at all. As you know, after all, this is Atlanta. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, this is Atlanta. Oh, you're probably in a real world of hurt here, Carl.
Maybe it'd be great if we could find a party that Zell Miller might be at.
Yeah, just don't get pulled over by an Atlanta cop.
Oh, Lord, no.
You know, because otherwise, I mean, if you do, you do have a number in your shirt pocket of a good bail bondsman, correct?
That's right.
All right. Carl, have a great time tonight. Drive safely.
I will. Thanks.
And don't drink and drive. Say hi to Jason for me. It's okay to smoke and drive. Don't drink and drive, okay?
I will.
All right. All right, sir. Take care. Cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes, but we've talked about going to New Zealand or Australia or Canada or some other freedom-loving country that has as its main language English, simply because we on the Molloy program are too damn lazy to learn a new language, although Kathy could probably survive in French and I could probably survive in Spanish. I certainly speak it better than too stupid to be president. However, New Zealand, an Auckland, New Zealand peace activist who sent an email to the U.S. Embassy there objecting to the war in Iraq has been charged with misuse of a telephone. Police went to the home of university student Bruce Hubbard and took him to the Takapuna police station for questioning. Mr. Hubbard said he'd been charged under the Telecommunications Act and been told by police they would seize information from his computer under the Counterterrorism Act. See, even in New Zealand. Friends, such as fellow activist John Minto, were alerted to Hubbard's plight when he sent an email before being taken to the police station. Get over here, you're under arrest! Hold on a second, let me send an email. The friend said Mr. Hubbard sent the embassy an email in about March. Hubbard is a member of the left-wing group. Left-wing group? This is from the Sydney Morning Herald. Left-wing, okay. Hubbard is a member of the left-wing groups, plural, Global Peace and Justice, Students for Justice in Palestine, and the Green Party. In January, he helped to organize a protest against the deployment of the frigate Timana to aid U.S. forces in the Middle East. He's also been outspoken on the treatment of Algerian asylum seeker Ahmed Azaoui. That would be a New Zealand issue. Has nothing to do with us. He is to appear in North Shore District Court on Monday. Misuse of a telephone? Oh, for Christ's sake. And they have a counterterrorism act in New Zealand? How now? Where are we going to go now? Antarctica? Do they speak English there? This is code name D from Wichita, Kansas. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for. Hey, is your program being preempted again tonight or
on Sirius? We don't know. We have no idea. I do know that a lot of people have complained. A lot of people have canceled their subscriptions to Sirius until Sirius gets serious about. You know, when they say channel 145 left, it doesn't mean channel 145 left some of the time and most of the time of hockey and basketball. Jesus, like there's not enough radio and TV stations that carry sports in this country.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Well, anyway, I got a ghost story for you.
Okay.
It's actually a ghost story about our illustrious leader. And like all true ghost stories, I can't say it's not true.
Okay.
Basically... Bush was in his bedroom one day, and he was visited by the angel of the Lord.
Angel of the Lord.
You got it. Yeah, male angel. Not those female angels. They don't believe in those.
Right.
Anyway, the angel said, "The Lord is pleased with the progress of humankind in his ability to withstand the darkness.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord has decided that it is time for you to face the ultimate evil.
Uh-oh.
And he would like... to see Satan himself be tried under the U.S. Constitution. Well, you might imagine that old Bushy, he was very pleased with this.
Oh, yeah,
I'll make sure he was found guilty. But the angel said, the angel warned him, he must be tried fairly.
Fairly, okay.
For so too as Satan shall be tried, so too shall American justice be tried.
Uh-huh, all right.
Anyway, the angel gave him the details of the Satan would arrive at the White House lawn the very next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So he made certain that the Secret Service was there. And sure enough, this guy shows up in a nice Armani suit, had an earring on and everything, just clean shaven.
Yeah.
And they jumped on him, clapped the irons on him almost instantly. And, of course, Bush was there to see to it, to speak to the torture personally. But as they hauled him off, Satan said, now hold on a minute. Your precautions are unnecessary. Our God, the Lord himself, has commanded me to surrender to you. I shall not resist. Oh, no, we're not going to play that game. I know you're sneaky. We're going to make sure you're not going to run away. The devil says, so be it. So they sent him to Guantanamo Bay, where he is tortured for all the information he contains about the underworld.
Uh-huh.
And George W. Bush is interested in overhearing the session. So he goes down there and listens in. And in between his screams, Satan asks him, does not your law specify that I shall not be treated cruelly or unusually?
Uh-huh.
That I shall not be forced to testify against myself?
Yeah.
No, you're not even an American citizen. You don't have that right. So be it, Satan said. Well, sure enough, after that, he was called in front of a tribunal, and all three of them, they unanimously agreed that he should be executed. So he was hauled outside the front court or whatever, where this Guantanamo, a nice big old bonfire there. He was chained up, blindfolded, and George W. Bush comes out with a torch in his hand. And he said, I condemn you to death. Satan goes, hold on a minute. Does not your law specify that I have a right to an appeal? You're not, I told you already, you do not have that right. You're not even an American citizen. So be it, Satan says. So, George W. Bush throws the torch on the pyre, and Satan is burned into ashes. No sign, no remains, not even his earring.
Right.
And all, you might imagine, he's extremely pleased with him. He goes home and goes to bed, nice long sleep, having defeated evil. But when he wakes up in the morning, there's Satan right there at the foot of his bed.
Yeah.
Dressed back in his Armani suit. And old George Bush, he's just chewing mad. He's just, what you doing, Dad? I killed you myself. You've been caught. Ah, Satan says, but the Lord promised me a fair and impartial trial, as under your law. And as you have not given it to me, I am free to remain free to practice my evil. More so, you have done everything I would have willed you have done. You have treated me cruelly and mocked at my suffering and executed me without mercy. I am now free to take this country into hell. Unless, of course, you wish to fulfill your promise to the Lord himself and give me a fair trial.
Code name D, how much longer is this?
Very, not much longer. It's almost finished.
Okay.
And,
oh, God.
Of course, old Bushy, he was upset. He just went mad. And said, you will never, ever experience the same freedoms that American citizens. So help me God.
Right.
Okay. Goes, so be it. Like I say, I can't say it's not true.
Yeah. Okay. that's a real knee slapper. Thanks, Codename D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Codename D. I appreciate it. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Wayne is calling from Ackworth, Georgia. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Hey, don't tell any stories, okay?
Okay, I sure won't, but I will give you this.
Hey, you're pretty good. Okay. You're pretty good, Wayne.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm working on getting into radio.
Yeah?
I'm getting tired of being on this side of the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been talking to Rob Redding and Ike Newkirk and...
Going to go down to Quixie, huh?
And Mr. Stinson and the Democratic Party, which, by the way, my mother was a state representative for the state of Florida. So I've been there, done that. I've been in the works for a long time. I'm getting long in the tooth, and I'm thinking, you know what? Hey, if you bring more Mexicans over here to take my paint jobs, I'll just go into radio and screw all of you.
all right, now you called about your Enron costume.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, if I was going out this Halloween, if I actually thought I had something to celebrate, which, you know, I am not one of those heathens.
I understand.
You know, I'm part of the Republican Church.
Yes, I know.
You know, wave the Jesus flag and give them cheese.
Amen.
You know, at government expense. You know, but no, if I was going out, yeah, you're right. I'd dress in my three-piece suit.
Right, and put handcuffs on.
No, no. Oh. Well, I'd have handcuffs with me just for...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Any women I might meet.
Sure.
But, you know, print out some of the old Enron stocks and some of the old Tyco stocks.
Yeah.
And put some Monopoly money around on me, you know, and I'd be like, yeah. You know, and make sure that, you know, I carry a knife, and I'd be like, well, you know, I was going to stick it in between my shoulder blades, but then I realized my job is to stick it in your shoulder blades.
That's true.
Look. You know, I'll joke. You know, I know you want to keep it light, but I'll be honest with you, man. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
This is killing me.
I know.
This is killing me.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I can hold. You know, I can hold on. I mean, I try to engage these people, and I try to bring them, you know, to the table in fact, you know, on facts. With everything that I've got, and they just, you know, they blow you off. You're a communist.
Well,
liberal.
Right,
you're,
Wayne, Yo, Wayne, you got to give that up, man. I'm telling you, you got to give it up.
How do you fight them then, Mike?
Well, you don't. You talk with people who are like-minded.
No, wait.
Well,
how can you be the opposition
if you're just
going to crumble?
You're not letting me finish. I didn't say anything about crumbling. I say you talk to people who are like-minded until you have 40 or 50 people together. You see, you don't do it on your own, because on your own you're just dog meat. You've got to have your posse together. So, I mean, all this time that you spend trying to talk to people on a one-to-one basis, I don't think is going to work. You see?
So in other words, you're talking about taking the meetup format, and instead of just all of us meeting up, like, for example, for Dean,
right,
which is who I'm backing.
Right.
You just made me figure this out. That's cool. All right, cool. So in other words, we don't do just a meetup to where we wound up down at Manuel Maloof's or wherever.
Right.
But we get a group and we walk into the biggest Republican, you know, fanciest little place that we can find.
Yeah.
And we walk 50 of us in the door.
Yeah.
And then we put it in their face.
Say you're liberal terrorists.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Hold
see,
it.
You're triggering
ass cropped right there, dude.
Right.
I don't want to go there.
Right. See, you can't talk to these people one-on-one because there is no there between their ears. You've got to have a group. Republican.
Can't do it.
Republicans respect groups. Republicans are not individuals. Republicans have never had an individual creative thought on their own, ever, the ones that are alive and kicking today. So when they see that you have a group of liberals, of like-minded liberals or progressives or Dean supporters or whatever, then they'll be more inclined to listen. Do you understand my point there?
Yeah, I got that one. But at the same time, you know, I'm the dragon slayer.
Well,
I'm David, and I'm going to beat the hell out of Goliath. You know, you know me. I've been up against.
Right.
I've been thrown out of three different establishments. I've been in two different fights.
And that's just tonight.
Well, you know, and I'm not shy. I'm not shy at all. That's why I'm pushing to get on talk radio, which is why I need to talk to you.
All right.
And I need to leave a number with your producer.
Okay, let me put you on. Let me put you on hold. Let me put you on hold. Damn it. We're running out of time here. I'll put you on hold. Kathy will get your number. Thanks, Wayne. Oh, you.
on this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Mm. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Who you gonna call? Five before the hour. We may have a surprise for you next hour. Stick around. Dave is calling from Skokie, Illinois. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, hi, Mike.
Hi,
hey,
Dave.
Listen, I want to talk to you about James Imhoff. I don't know if you heard about him lately. He was complaining that global warming doesn't exist, you know, and he says it's great for, well, he says it, even if it does exist, it's good for the trees and stuff. It fertilizes the trees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have a list of things that happen, you know, when you have global warming, like temperature changes, heat wave deaths, the disease outbreaks, droughts, crop disruptions, loss of food security, animal and plant extinctions, flooding of coastal cities, disappearance of islands, increase in forest fires, Gulf Stream disruptions, animal behavior changes, melting glaciers, and the warfare.
Jesus, God.
Just to name a few.
Whoa, pass that on to Inhofe.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe this. Plus, you know, another thing about the global warming, Bush is flying around all over the country trying to get money, and he's putting out more carbon dioxide, which is, you know, making things worse. And nobody mentions this, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I know. And you ought to see that gets in. Inhofe is not going to run again, or what's the deal with him? He's
I don't know. Isn't he from Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, yeah.
Anyway, I can't believe these guys, where their brains are.
I could tell you, but we're on family radio.
Yeah. And also, you know, the fires in California, you know, true, it was started, but I think global warming had something to do with it because it was drying out there, you know.
Well, they say one of the fires was started as an accidental, a camper was lost and tried to set a fire to attract attention. But also today, I think it was just today, that the news came out that Governor Gray Davis had, back in June, requested money from the federal government to clear off the chaparral.
By the beetle infestation, I think.
And that, too. And it was turned down. And he didn't find out he was turned down, Gray Davis didn't, until the very day that these fires broke out. So the Bush crime family said to California, go screw yourself, we're not giving you anything. And if one chooses, one can say, well, this is one of the results of that refusal to acknowledge and try to deal with the problem that California was having. But you know, I that's how I choose to look at it.
Yeah, also but you know why? I think the bark beetles came out because of the dryness, and it was due to global warming indirectly.
There you go. Yeah, all sorts of disruption.
It feeds on itself.
Well, when it really strikes, Dave, you and I will no longer be walking this mortal coil, so on that cheerful note, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2002.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The first helicopter pilot to see the flames that would become the catastrophic Cedar Fire radioed for aerial water drops, but state firefighters rejected his request because it came minutes after such flights had been grounded for the night. Pilot Dave Weldon told the AP he called for help because his dispatcher had relayed of smoke in the area but got no response. He said he then called for backup, including a second helicopter with a 120-gallon water dump bucket. The second helicopter flew within 5 miles of the fire before state officials told it to turn back. Two CIA operatives were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan while hunting for terrorists, the agency said Tuesday. The deaths were the latest indication that the largely secret war in Afghanistan is far from over. Heavy fighting continued Tuesday as at least 22 Taliban guerrillas were killed in a U.S.-led air attack in the southeastern Paktika province. Their deaths in an ambush highlight the dangers faced by small patrols of U.S. forces in the mountainous region of Afghanistan near the border of Pakistan. Villagers in this region are often loyal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and can tip off enemy fighters about U.S. patrols. American troops clashed with rioters carrying pictures of Saddam Hussein in a Baghdad suburb Friday, and heavy smoke billowed from the mayor's office in a city west of the capital following a big explosion. In northern Iraq, American troops sealed off the village where Saddam was born and began issuing identity cards to the villagers to determine who can move in and out. There were conflicting claims about what triggered the clash at Abu Ghraib. Iraqi said it broke out when U.S. troops tried to clear market stalls from a main road, but a U.S. officer said it began with a grenade attack against American soldiers that left two of them wounded. An internal report that harshly criticized the Justice Department's diversity efforts was edited so heavily when it was posted on the department's website 2 weeks ago that half of its 186 pages, including the summary, were blacked out. The deleted passages, electronically recovered by the website thememoryhole.org, portrayed the department's record on diversity as seriously flawed, specifically in the hiring, promotion, and retention of minority lawyers. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
Just in time for Halloween, a vampire killing kit complete with a wooden stake and 10 silver bullets sold for $12,000 at a Sotheby's auction Thursday. The kit, a walnut box that also contained a crucifix, a pistol, a rosary, and vessels for garlic powder and various serums, was bought by an anonymous phone bidder. The vampire killing kit was part of a Sotheby's sale of 19th century furniture and decorative works of art. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening. Welcome back. I can't do that. 7 minutes past the hour. We're at 800 Talk. Yes, Maddie is calling. She is our Brooklyn, New York bureau chief. Hey, Maddie.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? And don't forget Pagan Lesbian Transsexual Bureau Chief. Happy Samhain.
Happy Samhain back at you. Merry meet and merry meet again.
Yes. So I'm calling basically to issue a warning.
A warning.
To those of your straight male listeners who are walking on the wild side tonight.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
I do indeed.
Because, you know, me and Hank go back a long way.
Yes, you do.
All right, so I'm going to read this to you and then comment.
All right.
New security precautions at the nation's airports and border crossings will make it more difficult for the transgender to enter the U.S. The Department of Homeland Security issued a warning that terrorists may disguise themselves in women's clothing to avoid scrutiny.
Oh, my God. We've gone insane in this country.
Yes, we have. The warning cites intelligence collected globally by the department leading the agency to believe that soft targets and more clever approaches, including use of disguise, are considered the next trend in terrorism.
Oh, my God.
Previous attacks underscore Al-Qaeda's ability to employ suicide bombers, a tactic which can be used against soft targets and VIPs. Terrorists will employ novel methods to artfully conceal suicide devices. Male bombers may dress as females in order to discourage scrutiny, the alert says. So, how about that?
I don't know what to say.
I get profiled for so many things. I've got to add this crap onto it.
I know. Boy, when they see you coming, it's like an approaching committee.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had to take out the piercings.
Well, I don't know that I would go that far.
Yeah, I set off metal detectors.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have some implants put in my jaw, and they are metal. They are titanium, and I wonder what's going to happen when I walk through one of those metal detectors, huh?
No, but sure. I mean, that's so insane.
Yeah. Well,
some harmless little transgendered person.
Oh, I know. It's
stopped at an airport.
It puts a whole different meaning on the term soft target, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, you know, we're living in oblivion here, Maddie, and I don't know what to say.
Well, all I'll say, and I don't mean to generalize here on overly Semitic facial hair growth, but I mean, if you looked at the 19 guys who supposedly did the hijacking, and I did say supposedly,
right?
They would have needed a lot of like Avon to cover up those shadows.
Yeah, a truckload of Maybelline for sure. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm on my way out, but I just wanted to wish you and Pickles a happy Samhain.
So where are you going? You going to a party?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where at? The Village?
In the Village.
Oh, God. It is. I spent one Halloween night that went on for about 6 weeks in the village. About, let's see, Chris was seven, so we're talking 17 years ago. And it was just an absolute mind-blowing experience. I still haven't recovered.
No, I was probably there.
You probably were.
Anyway,
what are you going as? I'm afraid to ask that question, but
no, it's pretty tame, probably by your imagination. Yeah. Did you see Pirates of the Caribbean?
It did indeed.
I'm going as Jack Sparrow.
Oh my God! I think you know. I said to Kathy, I'm sorry, I'm straight as they make them, but boy, that guy turns me on.
Yeah, well, there is that. You know.
There is
you
that.
You turn me straight.
Maddie, thanks for checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. And listen, be careful at the crossings, okay?
Well, that's why I'm bringing the saber.
I didn't mean that kind of crossing.
Oh.
Thanks, Maddie.
Okay.
All right, take care. That was a good movie, Pirates of the Caribbean. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Of course, I think Johnny Depp is just, I don't know. I've never seen an actor like him. What just...
You're in love.
What tore it for me was the one about the Headless Horseman.
Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow, thank you. Yeah, that was just an awesome
I am a wealth movie. Of movie information here.
You are indeed. All right. Richard is calling from Fire Island, New York. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how are you?
Fair to partly cloudy. I'd like to be out partying tonight, but
I'm sure.
Tomorrow night is going to be our night, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
are you doing?
Well, we have parties lined up for tomorrow night. We have a lot of folks that we hang with here in Atlanta are. I guess, Kathy? I guess they're busy tonight, or they've got. There's two sets of parties. There's the really good ones tonight, and then there's the not so good ones tomorrow night. No, I'm just kidding. The one we're going to do tomorrow night is just pretty intense. A lot of Wiccans, a lot of drum circle thing going on, a lot of big bonfire. There's no telling what will happen. A lot of gays, a lot of straights, a lot of blacks, a lot of whites. It gets pretty funky. Trust me.
Hey, hang on. Halloween.
There you go.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I had called Sirius and
thank you.
The issue with that. But I thought since it was Halloween, rather than talking about that, does Marion, Ohio ring a bell for you?
Yeah, there's a prison there, I believe.
Really, is there?
Yeah,
well, there's also Warren G. Harding's mausoleum.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and I played a concert, and it's this incredible building. It's this big, marble, gorgeous, beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mausoleum, so Halloween, you know.
Right.
So anyway, but it was never dedicated. He's buried there. Warren G. Harding is buried there, but they never had a dedication. It was just like, oops.
Yeah. No official ceremony.
No, I believe that is the allegation. I'm semi-positive,
mm-hmm.
but it was like Teakpot Dome and everything had come out.
Right.
What a corrupt.
Oh, it was a terrible administration. Yeah.
I had a teacher who once said that there were five level of presidents. The last was, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he said Grant and Harding. I think he might have said Polk. I'm not sure, but.
I don't know anything about Polk. But,
I don't know.
But Harding being from Ohio, and since that's my state of birth, we learned about Teapot Dome early on and how similar it is to Halliburton, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
So his mausoleum, his crypt, was never dedicated.
That is the allegation. I think it was never, and it's...
Does that make anything unusual? Any unusual lights floating around the mausoleum?
I don't know. Maybe
creaking doors
tonight. Yeah. There may be. And another part of the story is a few years ago, I found out that my father was at Warren G. Harding's last speech. He was in Alaska, and he got food poisoning or something. But he gave a speech in
Your father?
Seattle. He gave a speech in Seattle, Washington, in Heck Edmondson Pavilion. It's the big basketball pavilion.
Yeah.
And he talked there. My dad was about 7 or 8 years old. And he heard the speech. You know, I mean, when you're a seven-year-old, you don't know anything about it,
right,
what he said.
Right.
But he heard the speech.
Yeah.
And then a week later or something, he got sick, and he went down to San Francisco, and he died there, you know. And nobody knew. They wouldn't do an autopsy. Nobody knew why.
I think his wife poisoned him, didn't she? Or was that Calvin Coolidge? I don't know anymore. I can't keep him straight.
I'm not sure, but nobody really knew what happened to Warren G. Harding.
Yeah.
So I just figured that's a good Halloween story.
It is. That is a good one. I'm just all covered with chills right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so do I win a prize? If other people don't get any better than that, do I get a prize?
Yes, you do get a prize. As a matter of fact, we've already shipped it. So you just watch. It's coming UPS. You should be there in a couple of days, all right?
Well, see, but what if somebody tells a better story than that? I didn't think it was
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We already shipped it.
Out of sight.
Okay.
Okay.
Richard, are you going to any parties tonight, Richard?
No, I'm just hanging out. I've had parties before, but this weekend I'm not. Next year we'll have a party.
That's not good. I mean,
Halloween?
You're not going to one? I don't mean are you having one, but you're not even going out?
There's a bar in town. There's one bar in town that may have Halloween, and I think I'll check it out.
Oh, if it's on Fire Island, I'm sure they're having a party tonight.
Well, yeah. We're in Ocean Beach.
Oh, that's where the old people live. But
that's where the old people live.
But
yeah.
Still.
Our party has been kind of the hippest one. We'd have disco and stuff. We'd have maybe 25 or 30 people. But it just, the weekend, if it were Saturday, it'd be easier.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. It's hard to get out from the city on a Friday.
It's hard to get out to the city. Yes.
That's right. Richard, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks for talking with me.
All right. You take care. You take care. All right. Where are we, Kathy? What am I supposed to do now? Here comes the train.
Apparently just opened the bar, seeing how everyone's having a few libations this evening before they decide to call the Mike Malloy Show, which Pickles would frown on.
I certainly wish we would have brought the Jack Black in here tonight ourselves, but no, we didn't do that. Isn't that that's against some FCC rule and reg, I think. Yeah? All right. 800-TALK-YES is a number. This is not a Halloween horror story. This is a truth. The Republican National Committee has asked CBS to allow a team of friends of former President Reagan and his wife to review this Reagan miniseries coming up in November before it goes on the air.
Oh, my God, it's finally happened. It's finally happened.
Republicans have expressed concern that the miniseries titled The Reagans may inaccurately portray the couple.
Inaccurate
little venture into fantasy about Bush. What was that? DC 911? Huh? Where Bush said, what was it Bush said? If those terrorists want me, if some tin horse terrorist wants me, tell them to come and get me. I'll be at home waiting for the bastard.
Right? Now, that's what Bush said, according to Showtime, according to the movie. But here's a Reagan movie, right?
Republicans have expressed concern that the miniseries may inaccurately portray the couple. In a conference call with reporters, Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said he sent letters of request to CBS Television President Leslie Moonves.
Gillespie said if CBS denies the request, he will ask the network to run a note across the bottom of the screen every 10 minutes during the program's presentation, informing viewers that the miniseries is not accurate.
I'll get your hash.
He smokes a monster hash. Now every night the dead rise up from the grave to partake in a happening THC rave. For you, the living, this hash was meant to. When you get to my door, just say the toys sent you.
We'll smoke some hash.
We'll smoke some monster hash.
A monster hash.
And we'll all get trashed.
We'll smoke some hash.
From my personal stash.
A monster hash.
We'll smoke some monster hash.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
No, 24 past the hour. We have just an important, although brief, announcement here. Or should I say a brief, although important announcement here. We have just named Paul Kirkland to be our Cambridge United Kingdom Bureau Chief, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. So we, and since apparently Paul cannot call from the UK, I don't know why. Maybe he's in prison or something. Who knows? But It is about 3:30 in the morning over there, Kathy? I think so. Anyway, Paul Kirkland has just been appointed our Cambridge, UK bureau chief. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike. Well, I want to report.
All right.
That you are on serious.
We're on tonight, huh?
You're on tonight.
I bet you can.
I canceled on. I canceled my prescription last night.
You know what they said? They sent me an email and they said, if you'll get this Joe character from Cypress Springs to leave us alone, we'll put your damn show back on.
Well, now they sent me an email today.
I know. You sent me a copy. I saw.
Copy said they were. Now they start lying to me. I've been giving them Billy. I've been calling.
I know you
I've
have.
I've been calling. I've been emailing them. I emailed so much that they wouldn't even email me back. And whenever NHL come on last night, I call them right then.
Oh, good. Now, did you call them and say, you know, down here in Texas, we love ice hockey? We go over here to Dallas, Fort Worth all the time just to watch the, you know. Well, Joe, I appreciate it. A lot of folks did just raise old Billy hell. But, yeah, I know that your efforts were in there strong, too, because I saw some of the emails that flew back and forth between you and them. And, man, you if I were serious satellite radio, I would just, I don't know, I'd give you something free just to keep you quiet. Give you damn radio or something.
Well, I'm having a mic. Lloyd, I'm kind of addicted to your show, you know.
I hear that. You going?
If I don't release this anger somewhere,
I know
somebody's going to be in trouble.
Well, that's it. This program serves a very important public service, and that's to keep potential murderers off the street.
You bet.
Are you going trick or treating tonight, Joe?
No, if I was down at my brother's house, I'd go with his. Well, he's 3 year old.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to go with kid, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
I'm just kind of sitting back, taking in the serious tonight.
Yeah, well, good for you.
And I hope they're not lying to me. That's the first email they sent me that said they did lie to me on when I called in. But I called back in today too, and they said that they had it taken care of. I don't know where they gonna put it yet, but. Evidently, they said they ain't going to put it back on serious.
Well, just...
They said they had a lot of people had called.
Yeah.
And I know they had, yeah.
Well, if they don't live up to their promise, Joe, just drop the dime on them again, okay?
I'll deactivate this like that. I don't care if I can't even carry my equipment back.
Joe, thanks for checking in, Pat.
All right.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Yeah, an awful lot of folks did call in, and... just say, you know, we didn't subscribe to Sirius or whatever. We didn't want to listen to Channel 145 left to hear National Hockey League games, you know. And again, are there not enough sports broadcasts and sports talk and sports this and sports that in this country? Dear God. Quick break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
High places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
made life easier for Americans during the past century, but it could be a growing source of trouble over the next. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Richard Heinberg says the world is fast approaching the day when there won't be any more oil in the ground, but he says that's a taboo subject for our elected leaders.
No politician wants to be identified with the message that we have to conserve and cut back and change our lifestyle. In fact, Vice President Cheney even said it right up front. He said, the American way of life is non-negotiable. If that's true, then what are we going to do to maintain the American way of life?
Heinberg is the author of a new book called The Party's Over. He says the United States already imports 60% of the oil it uses, and that number is steadily climbing as our energy needs rise and our own oil production continues to fall.
Eventually, that puts us in competition, and probably military competition, with most of the other major consuming countries, including not only Europe, but also China. And it's hard to see any kind of end to that process. It's something we would want for our children or grandchildren.
Heinberg says we need to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in alternative energy research and development. But he says there's nothing to compare to the concentrated power found in oil deposits, not solar, not wind, not hydrogen.
We've become accustomed to having this incredibly cheap, abundant, reliable energy. That's what we're not going to have around. If we plan properly and make the investments, we will have energy sources, but we're going to have to use them in a much more parsimonious and careful and conservative way.
Heinberg says being conservative with energy would be a good thing, but he says it's going to mean some major changes in the American way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
True. Nervous, very, very dreadfully nervous I had been and am. But why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Hearken and observe how healthily, how calmly I can tell you the whole story. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me day and night. Object there was none, passion there was none. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult. For his gold I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. He had the eye of a vulture, a pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold, and so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus rid myself of the eye forever. Now this is the point. You fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing, but you should have seen me. You should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation I went to work. I was never kinder to the old man than during the whole week before I killed him, and every night about midnight I turned the latch of his door and opened it oh so gently. And then, when I had made an opening sufficient for my head, I put in a dark lantern.
all closed so that no light shone out, and then I thrust in my head. Oh, you would have laughed to see how cunningly I thrust it in. I moved slowly, very, very slowly, so that I might not disturb the old man's sleep. It took me an hour to place my whole head within the opening so far that I could see him as he lay upon his bed. Ha! Would a madman have been so wise as this? And then, when my head was well in the room, I undid the lantern cautiously, oh, so cautiously, cautiously, for the hinges creaked. I undid it just so much that a single thin ray fell upon the vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights, every night just at midnight. But I found the eye always closed, and so it was impossible to do the work, for it was not the old man who vexed me, but his evil eye. And every morning, when the day broke, I went boldly into the chamber and spoke courageously to him, calling him by name in a hearty tone, and inquiring how he has passed the night. So you see, he would have been a very profound old man indeed to suspect that every night, just at 12, I looked in upon him while he slept. Upon the 8th night, I was more than usually cautious in opening the door. A watch's minute hand moves more quickly than did mine. Never before that night had I felt the extent of my own powers, of my sagacity. I could scarcely contain my feelings of triumph to think that there I was, opening the door, little by little, and he not even to dream of my secret deeds or thoughts. I fairly chuckled at the idea, and perhaps he heard me, for he moved on the bed suddenly as if startled. Now you may think that I drew back, but no. His room was as black as pitch, with thick darkness, and so I knew that he could not see the opening of the door, and I kept pushing it on steadily, steadily. I had my head in, and was about to open the lantern, when my thumb slipped upon the tin fastening, and the old man sprang up in bed, crying out, "Who's there?" I kept quite still and said nothing. For a whole hour I did not move a muscle, and in the meantime I did not hear him lie down. He was still sitting up in the bed listening, just as I have done night after night, hearkening to the death watches in the wall. Presently I heard a slight groan, and I knew it was the groan of mortal terror. It was not the groan of pain or of grief, oh no. It was the low, stifled sound that arises from the bottom of the soul when overcharged with awe. I knew the sound well. Many a night, just at midnight, when all the world slept, it has welled up from my bosom, deepening with its dreadful echo the terrors that distracted me. I say I knew it well. I knew what the old man felt and pitied him, although I chuckled at heart. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first slight noise when he had turned in the bed. His fears had been ever since growing upon him. He had been trying to fancy them causeless, but could not. He had been saying to himself, "It is nothing but the wind in the chimney. It's only a mouse crossing the floor. It's merely a cricket which has made a single chirp." Yes, he'd been trying to comfort himself with these suppositions, but he had found all in vain, because death, in approaching him, had stalked with his black shadow before him and enveloped the victim. And it was the mournful influence of the unperceived shadow that caused him to feel, although he neither saw nor heard, to feel the presence of my head within the room. When I had waited a long time, very patiently, without hearing him lie down, I resolved to open a little, a very, very little crevice in the lantern. And so I opened it. You cannot imagine how stealthily, stealthily, until at length a single dim ray, like the thread of a spider, shot from the out crevice and fell full upon the vulture eye. It was open, wide, wide open, and I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue, with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow in my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct precisely upon the damned spot. And have I not told you that what you mistake for madness is but over-acuteness of the senses? Now, I say, there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well, too. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier into courage. But even yet I refrained and kept still. I scarcely breathed.
I held the lantern motionless. I tried how steadily I could maintain the ray upon the eye. Meantime, the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew thicker and quicker and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. It grew louder, I say, louder every moment. Do you mark me well? I have told you that I am nervous, so I am. And now at the dead hour of the night, amid the dreadful silence of that old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror. Yet for some minutes longer I refrained and stood still, but the beating grew louder, louder. I thought the heart must burst. And now a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. With a loud yell, I threw open the lantern and leaped into the room. He shrieked once, once only. In an instant, I dragged him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. I then smiled gaily to find the deed so far done. But for many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. This, however, did not vex me. It would not be heard through the wall. And at length it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the corpse. Yes, he was stone dead. I placed my hand upon the heart and held it there many minutes. There was no pulsation. He was stone dead. His eye would trouble me no more. If still you think me mad, you will think so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took for the concealment of the body. The night waned, and I worked hastily, but in silence. First of all, I dismembered the corpse. I cut off the head and the arms and the legs. I then took up three planks from the flooring of the chamber and deposited all between the scantlings. I then replaced the board so cleverly, so cunningly, that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out, no stain of any kind, no blood spot whatever. I had been wary, too wary for that. A tub had caught all. When I had made an end of these labors, it was 4:00, still dark as midnight. As the bell sounded the hour, there came a knocking at the street door. I went down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? There entered three men who introduced themselves with perfect suavity as officers of the police. A shriek had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Suspicion of foul play had been aroused. Information had been lodged at the police office, and they, the officers, had been sent to search the premises. I smiled, for what had I to fear? I bade the gentlemen welcome. The shriek, I said, was in my own dream. The old man, I mentioned, was absent in the country. I took my visitors all over the house. I bade them search well. I led them at length to his chamber. I showed them his treasures, secure, undisturbed. In the enthusiasm of my confidence, I brought chairs into the room and desired them here to rest from their fatigues, while I myself, in the wild audacity of my perfect triumph, placed my own seat upon the very spot beneath which reposed the corpse of the victim. The officers were satisfied. My manner had convinced them. I was singularly at ease. They sat, and while I answered cheerily, they chatted of familiar things. But ere long, I felt myself getting pale and wished them gone. My head ached, and I fancied a ringing in my ears. But still they sat, and still they chatted. The ringing became more distinct. It continued and became more distinct. I talked more freely to get rid of the feeling, but it continued and gained definiteness until at length I found that the noise was not within my ears. No doubt I now grew very pale, but I talked more fluently and with a heightened voice. Yet the sound increased, and what could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound, much such a sound as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath. And yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and argued about trifles in a high key and with violent motions. But the noise steadily increased. Why would they not be gone? I paced the floor to and fro with heavy strides, as if excited to fury by the observations of the men. But the noise steadily increased. Oh, God, what could I do?
I foamed, I raved, I swore, I swung the chair upon which I had been sitting and grated it upon the boards, but the noise arose over all and continually increased. It grew louder, 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 and still the men chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they heard not? Almighty God, no, no, they heard, they suspected, they knew! They were making a mockery of my horror! This I thought, and this I think. But anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die. And now again, hark! Louder, 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 louder! Villains, I shrieked! Dissemble no more! I admit the deed! Tear up the planks! Here! Here! It is the beating of his hideous heart!
I just scared the hell out of myself. Whew. The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. That's a great story, isn't it?
Well, I give it an 8. You couldn't dance to it.
Thump, thump. Thump, thump. How in the hell are we getting home tonight? I we live out in the country, man. I don't know. Marge in Maryville, Indiana. Marge, what is that one of your favorite stories?
I never heard it before.
You haven't heard The Telltale Heart, huh?
No.
Yeah, well, that's a goodie.
Did you do that cold or did you re-record it?
No, that was live radio, honey.
You are talented, my friend.
Well, it's easy when you're doing Edgar Allan Poe on Halloween. Are you kidding?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Did you have trick-or-treaters come by your house tonight?
No, I turned the lights off and hid. I got too many steps in my house.
You have too many steps?
Mm-hmm.
To get to the front door?
Right.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, God help me, my knees are getting older. You know, by the day.
Yeah.
And I don't have a swimming pool to exercise in. So.
That's true. So you have
to. So they creak.
So you have to take it. You have to take it easy.
I'm seriously considering investing in some WD-40 to see if it might help. I don't know.
Marge, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
You have a nice evening. Halloween safety tips. I'd like to share these with you. First of all, never read a book of demon summoning aloud, even as a joke. Don't fool around with recombinant DNA technology unless you're really sure you know what you're doing. These are Halloween safety tips. If appliances start operating by themselves, do not check for short circuits. Just leave now. Avoid certain geographical locations, some of which are listed here. Amityville, Elm Street, Transylvania, anywhere in Texas where chainsaws are sold, cornfields, and any small towns in Maine. These are Halloween safety tips. If you're running from the monster, expect to trip or fall down at least twice, more if you are female. Also note that despite the fact that you are running and the monster is merely shambling along, it's still moving fast enough to catch up with you. If appliances start operating by themselves, do not check for short circuits. Just leave now. I think I just said that. Dress appropriately. When investigating a noise downstairs in an old house, women should not wear a flimsy negligee. If your car runs out of gas at night on a lonely road, do not go to the nearby deserted-looking house to phone for help. If you think that it is strange you ran out of gas because you thought you had almost a tank, shoot yourself instead. You're going to die anyway, and most likely you're going to be eaten. So, and if your children speak to you in Latin or any other language, which they should not know, shoot them immediately. It will save you a lot of grief in the long run.
Control, I'm suffocating without a word. Crazy with sweat. Spill on my jaw.
extreme it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The Mike Malloy Show.
According to the GL report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, let me close my eyes, spin me around, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun, spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Hey, thanks to Tom, one of our website moderators, for that list of things not to do on Halloween or Halloween safety trips. Fred is calling from Santa Fe. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Fred.
What I think I hear you saying
is that the public airwaves might better be used for the recitation of classic narrative than the selling of laxatives and erectile dysfunction remedies.
And juicy gummies.
And candies. I wasn't going to mention any brand name.
I appreciate that, Fred.
But I appreciate the passion with which you read that.
How are things where you are, if you don't mind my asking?
It's all kind of the same, Mike. It just goes on and on. And, and you know, I say I'm calling from Santa Fe because I have to have an earthly link into the phone system, but I'm not really in Santa Fe.
I understand.
I am concerned about one thing, Mike, and that is I have a suspicion that the passion which fueled your reading of that piece may have been fueled by a vision of a certain president or father of a president, just for visualization purposes, mind you, strictly.
Well, Fred, that you're pretty close to the mark right there. By the way, have you found your puppet yet?
I don't know to what you refer.
I'm sorry. Never mind.
The other thing is this. I also caught, speaking of horror, and I do recognize true horror when I see it.
Yes, you do.
I sensed a moment of horror when your caller Marge from Indiana revealed that she was not familiar with that piece of literature. But you caught yourself well, and you're a professional.
Marge writes horror-filled literature, so I was surprised you hadn't heard about that. And usually when she writes that horror-filled literature, she mails it on to me.
It's horror or it's horrible?
Horror.
Okay.
H-O-R-R-O-R. Horror.
Okay.
See, we do have a P.O. box. People can write letters to us if they want to.
I don't know what... Oh, mail. I remember mail. That was prior to email.
Right. It was, friend.
And, you know, I don't want to say I've lost my mind or anything.
No,
but
no.
It took me several minutes to make the connection between your reading of that story and the fact that this is Halloween.
Yeah, well,
I'm just confessing that it took me a while.
I would imagine time is a little bit slowed down where you are, or speeded up.
The months, the weeks, it gets to be a blur.
I'm sure it does. Fred, listen, you have a pleasant moment. All right, afterlife. And please say hi to Mr. McFeely for me.
Oh, Mike, whatever you like.
Thanks, Fred. And say hi to Doug Steffen, too.
No problem.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Fred, check in again. Fred's gone. Thank you, Fred.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2002.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
American troops clashed with rioters carrying pictures of Saddam Hussein in a Baghdad suburb Friday, and heavy smoke billowed from the mayor's office in a city west of the capital following a big explosion. In northern Iraq, American troops sealed off the village where Saddam was born and began issuing identity cards to the villagers to determine who can move in and out. There were conflicting claims about what triggered the clash at Abu Ghraib. Iraqi said it broke out when U.S. troops tried to clear market stalls from a main road, but a U.S. officer said it began with a grenade attack against American soldiers that left two of them wounded. The first helicopter pilot to see the flames that would become the catastrophic Cedar Fire radioed for aerial water drops, but state firefighters rejected his request because it came minutes after such flights had been grounded for the night. Pilot Dave Weldon told the AP he called for help because his dispatcher had relayed of smoke in the area but got no response. He said he then called for backup, including a second helicopter with a 120-gallon water dump bucket. The second helicopter flew within 5 miles of the fire before state officials told it to turn back. Two CIA operatives were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan while hunting for terrorists, the agency said Tuesday. The deaths were the latest indication that the largely secret war in Afghanistan is far from over. Heavy fighting continued Tuesday as at least 22 Taliban guerrillas were killed in a U.S.-led air attack in the southeastern Paktika province. Their deaths in an ambush highlight the dangers faced by small patrols of U.S. forces in the mountainous region of Afghanistan near the border of Pakistan. Villagers in this region are often loyal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and can tip off enemy fighters about U.S. patrols. An internal report that harshly criticized the Justice Department's diversity efforts was edited so heavily when it was posted on the department's website 2 weeks ago that half of its 186 pages, including the summary, were blacked out. The deleted passages, electronically recovered by the website thememoryhole.org, portrayed the department's record on diversity as seriously flawed, specifically in the hiring, promotion, and retention of minority lawyers. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A man riding a Metro North train in New York dropped his cell phone into a toilet and got his arm stuck trying to retrieve it Thursday, forcing the train to stop and delaying the evening commute for thousands of people. The Bronx man was stuck with his arm in the toilet for 90 minutes, causing passenger evacuation, and thousands of commuters were delayed because the train sat blocking the platform as the rescue work continued. The phone has not yet been recovered. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Happy Halloween. Happy Samhain. Oldfield. What's the... Kevin Oldfield? No, who did that? Tubular Bells. Who is that? Who did the Exorcist theme?
I don't know.
Oldfield is his last name.
But as Pickles would say, it's not Halloween. It's Happy Hallelujah. Happy Halloween.
That happens to be, I think, probably the scariest movie that I've ever seen. The only scarier one that I can think of, and I was very young, for some ungodly reason, my mother took me to see, when I was a small child, Diabolique. And that was frightening. But I really believe the Exorcist. The Psycho was scary, but The Exorcist to me was just it was just out there. It was so far out there. I can remember when I was living in Richmond at the time. This is way back, mid '60s. Well, yeah, towards the late '60s, and I read the book by who was it? William Peter Blatty. That's right. I read the book, and I remember when I got the book on a Friday afternoon paperback. Somebody said, you got to read this. And I started reading it and could not stop. And I was married at the time, went to bed. My wife went to sleep. And I continued to read. I started reading at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Continued to read and read and read and read until I finished about 3:30, 4 o'clock the next morning. And as far as I know, it's the only book I ever read that literally gave me, you know, the rolling chills. You know what I'm talking about. So the movie, and the movie was damn near as good as the book, but that was probably the scariest movie I think I've ever seen. Speaking of scary movies, CBS, for some ungodly reason, has put together a two-part miniseries called The Reagans. We mentioned this a little while ago. Then some guy ran in here and read The Telltale Heart. CBS put together this miniseries titled The Reagans, and the Republican National Committee is requesting a right to review this miniseries before it goes on the air and to critique it. CBS so far has not responded one way or the other, But the Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said that if CBS rejects the request to see a copy, or if they can't see a copy, then every 10 minutes when they air this miniseries, to run across the bottom of the screen a banner, a crawl, informing viewers that the miniseries is not accurate. Don't you want to just pound these people into a jelly-like mass of protoplasm and then flush them down the nearest sewer? Don't you? Now, Mr. Gillespie said that if CBS rejects both of these requests, then the Republican National Committee will sell tapes and DVDs on its website that would present the real Reagan record. Now, you know that's not true. They would present the real Reagan propaganda record. If the real Reagan record were presented, then the footage of the tape and DVD that would be sold at the Republican National Committee website would show the slaughter of tens upon tens of thousands of Central Americans. It would show the Reagan administration trading weapons to a terrorist state, identified as a terrorist state by the Reagan administration. That would be Iran, at a time when Iran was in the habit of kidnapping Americans and holding them hostage. If the Republican National Committee showed a two-part miniseries on Reagan that was correct, there would be piles, veritable mountains of corpses in Guatemala, in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, in Honduras. There would be scenes from the military bases in Honduras that were staffed and funded by the United States showing people having their eyes gouged out. If they were men, their scrotum being removed, and all sorts of fun and frivolity applied to them in order to get them to confess that, yes, they were communists. It would also... The real Reagan record would show this bumbling, stumbling moron, and I'm sorry, no, I'm not going to cut him any slack for his early Alzheimer's. He should not have been in the Oval Office. Another one, another Republican that should not have been there. But it would show him the stumbling, fumbling fool when he met in Reykjavik, Iceland, with Gorbachev and offered to hand over to the Russians the keys to all of our missile silos. You remember that. What else would the Reagan years show? The Reagan years would also show Reagan telling anyone who got within earshot at those private Republican high-level dinners that there was no reason to worry about anything because Jesus was coming back and was going to destroy the earth anyway. So cut down trees, of course. Pollute the atmosphere, of course. Doesn't make any difference. So the Republican National Committee wants to present the real Reagan record? Oh, sure they do. Now, did the Republican National Committee issue such an upsetting challenge as this? Or, no, let me change it. Did the Democratic National Committee wet its pants the way the RNC does when the movie DC 911 was shown? That was the movie filmed in Toronto, so they didn't have to pay American wages in American scale. It was filmed in Toronto this past spring. It shows George Bush's heroic handling of the 911 crisis 2 years ago. In that movie, while he is on Air Force One, he is shown as commanding officials on Air Force One to take him to Washington. Here's the line of dialogue. If some tin-horned terrorist wants me, tell him to come and get me. I'll be at home waiting for a bastard. Now, whoever was driving Air Force One apparently wasn't listening. As we know, Bush was flown instead to Nebraska and only returned that evening to the White House where Pickles was holding the fort and fending off the terrorists. Pickles, not George, Pickles. Now, nobody in the Democratic National Committee said to, who was it, Showtime? Said to Showtime, we insist that you put a crawl across the bottom of the screen saying, this isn't true, this isn't true. The writer-producer of DC 911, with somebody named Lionel Chetwynd. That's an odd name, isn't it? What is it, a communist name? Lionel Chetwynd. A Canadian who had fully embraced the Bush Revolution and even joined the Bush administration. He sat on a White House arts committee. Can you imagine what the arts committee, a Bush White House arts committee? Jesus, what is it? Elvis paintings on velvet? What would it be, Kathy? Ceramic mugs made in Japan?
Lots of Christian iconography.
All right. But the audacity. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? The audacity. The Republican National Committee is worried about an incorrect portrayal of the Reagans. So they want to see it. They want to see. Show it to me. I want to see it. No, that had to do with Clinton. Be careful. Don't slip into your routines, Mike. And when you consider the lying, filthy, mind-jiggling propaganda that was put out in the Bush movie, DC-911, where was Terry McAuliffe? Why didn't Terry McAuliffe say, we want to review that? No, you see, Democrats just sit back and laugh, which might not be a particularly wise thing to do, but we do. When we're not being infuriated by these losers, we laugh at them. They are so funny. So here is the Republican National Committee. They want to screen this thing, and CBS so far hasn't responded. If they do respond, if they do allow this to happen, well, what can I do, Kathy? I mean, we don't watch CBS anymore because we're not home. The only time we used to watch CBS was to watch the 6:30 news of Dan Rather. And I believe today's his birthday, isn't it? And Dan Rather, 70, 71, 72, I think it is. So there's nothing, I mean, what can we do? Dash off an email to Les Moonves at the CBS? Oh, yeah, that'll work. I don't know what to do. I really don't. Maybe I'll just, if CBS gives into this, maybe I will take that CBS I logo, put it up on the wall down in the basement, and throw darts at it. And every time I hit it, go, neener, 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 neener. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? But here's the Republican National Committee saying, we want to review that. We want to take a look at that because we've heard. Now, Gillespie, the head of the RNC, acknowledges that he hasn't even seen the Reagans, the miniseries. That he has formed his opinion based solely on rumor, innuendo, and reports that he's heard. We want to see it. We want to see it before it goes out on the air because it ain't true. As a matter of fact, I think that's what Joe in Brookings, Oregon, wants to talk about. Our bureau chief out there. Is that what you called it about?
To talk about, you know, Ronald Reagan, this ridiculous thing about, it's untrue what they're saying about Ronald Reagan. You know, that's how Ronald Reagan got his start in entertainment in the first place,
mm-hmm.
on a radio station.
In Iowa, I believe, where he described play-by-play of a baseball game that he got just from ripping wire copy.
Yeah, that's right. This guy spent his whole career, including his political career, like this, just making stuff up. Not only was he a terrible president, hell, the guy was a terrible Z actor before that. But, you know, in fact, that thing he did in Iowa, that's probably the last time he showed that he might actually have some talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, well, you know, when they talk about, Joe, when they talk about, RNC talks about showing the real Reagan, are they going to show when he went to the Bitburg Cemetery in Germany to honor the dead SS? Are they going to show that part? Are they going to show Reagan declaring to the Israeli ambassador, or was it the Israeli premier or prime minister, that he, Ronald Reagan, had assisted in the liberation of the death camps in Poland when Ronald Reagan, during World War II, never once left this country? Is that going to be part of this RNC movie on Reagan that they're so afraid that might not be valid if CBS does it?
Of course not, because the crimes of the Reagan administration are too numerous to mention. But I did want to tell this one joke pre-approved by Kathy.
Go
you
ahead.
Don't mind?
Well, let me put you on hold. I'll come back to you because we have to break.
Fight! Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a silly sprite, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Molloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Molloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Molloy.
24 past the hour. Simon emails in, regarding this Reagan movie. I wonder if these people will be displaying the same demands for verisimilitude to the upcoming Jessica Lynch made-for-TV movie. No, I don't think they will, Simon. What we're talking about here is the Republican National Committee has sent a request, I guess you can call it a request, to CBS to allow them, the Republicans, to review the script of the movie, two-part miniseries, I should say, of the Reagans that will be broadcast on CBS towards the end of November, 18th, 19th, somewhere around in there. the audacity of these jack-legged bastards. It's just beyond belief. Beyond belief. When they put this piece of trash on a joke about George Bush, the Democratic National Committee didn't say, oh, well, wait a minute, it's all lies. Now, what the RNC is saying, if we can't review it, then we want you to put a crawl across the bottom of the screen when you're doing this that says every 10 minutes,
the two-part series that you're watching is a bunch of lies, but we decided to put it on anyway and make money on the corpse of Ronald Reagan, or something like that. But anyway, Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief, has called in about that. Now, where were you?
Yeah, well, one last comment about Reagan before I tell my little joke.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Ronald Reagan, he didn't even recognize his adopted son, Michael Reagan, at his son's high school reunion. So how's that for family values? How about putting that in the movie? Okay, now for the joke.
Okay.
Have you heard that the Bush administration is going to be cracking down on pornography now?
They're going to be cracking down on pornography?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And that really makes me mad because what are the Bush daughters going to be doing for a living now?
Thanks, Joe. Click. He's gone. Thank you, Joe, our Brookings Bureau Chief. Is that true? What is cracking down? I like the choice of words there, but what is cracking down on pornography all about?
I just saw a little blurb on the news about it earlier that there is a new war on porno.
Well, there goes our Sunday nights, right? I'm not sure I like this at all. They're cracking down on porno? Now, I would imagine somebody is going to define pornography for them. Who was the famous Supreme Court justice who said, I can't define it, I just know it when I see it. So some of these people in the Reagan administration...
Probably was Clarence Thomas.
Oh, let me... yeah, well, that'll...
Long Dong Silver.
Probably Ashcroft would identify pornography as, well, the statue of justice behind him in the Hall of Justice, in the Department of Justice that he had covered up because her breast, her metallic, huge, metallic, well-shaped, voluptuous, defined breast, excuse me, breast was right behind him, and it probably upset him. Probably upset him. Peggy is calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Peggy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I was just telling Kathy, a lot of people are complaining about this movie about Reagan.
Yeah.
I seem to haven't been reading any or have read any of the books written by his cabinet members. Because I think at the end of the movie, what they should do is they should put the sources where they're getting the information. Because one book, David Stockman's book, wrote right in there during the cabinet meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They had to fill index cards with questions,
right,
so Reagan would have something to participate at the meetings. Otherwise, Ronnie would sit there in the cabinet meetings and play his fingers like they were puppets talking back and forth to each other. The data,
oh my God.
That's written in the book. Also, I can't remember that skinny guy that one of his glasses got in trouble. That left a thing with a good friend of Ronnie's. Anyway, the day of the inauguration, that's the first day.
Yeah.
Reagan, the first minister, the first time, he went up to get him and take him and Nancy down to get ready for the inauguration.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Nancy says, where's Ronnie? He says, well, he's in his bedroom. And he says, she's like, I can't get him out of bed. And he says, what? So he goes there and he tells Ronnie, you got to get out of bed. And he pulls the cover over his head.
Yeah.
And he says, Mommy, do I have to?
Jesus.
Now, you can tell me this is a guy that they want to put in there for President of the United States?
Well, they did.
And they did
for 8 years. But I'd love to see that in the movie, too. Thanks, Peggy.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it.
You hear him howling around your kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Thank you. life easier for Americans during the past century, but it could be a growing source of trouble over the next. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Richard Heinberg says the world is fast approaching the day when there won't be any more oil in the ground, but he says that's a taboo subject for our elected leaders.
No politician wants to be identified with the message that we have to conserve and cut back and change our lifestyle. In fact, Vice President Cheney even said it right up front. He said, the American way of life is non-negotiable. If that's true, then what are we going to do to maintain the American way of life?
Heinberg is the author of a new book called The Party's Over. He says the United States already imports 60% of the oil it uses, and that number is steadily climbing as our energy needs rise and our own oil production continues to fall.
Eventually, that puts us in competition, and probably military competition, with most of the other major consuming countries, including not only Europe, but also China. And it's hard to see any kind of end to that process that's something we would want for our children or grandchildren.
Heinberg says we need to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in alternative energy research and development. But he says there's nothing to compare to the concentrated power found in oil deposits, not solar, not wind, not hydrogen.
We've become accustomed to having this incredibly cheap, abundant, reliable energy. That's what we're not going to have around. If we plan properly and make the investments, we will have energy sources, but we're going to have to use them in a much more parsimonious and careful and conservative way.
Heinberg says being conservative with energy would be a good thing, but he says it's going to mean some major changes in the American way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried. Doug.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Before the hour, you know, I was thinking during the break, the Republican National Committee is concerned about the accuracy of this miniseries where it concerns Ronald and Nancy Reagan. When did the Republican National Committee ever become concerned about accuracy or truth at all? Were they concerned about it when Jerry Falwell had his Clinton Chronicles piece, the tape that was sold at on a religious broadcast that talked about rape, pillage, and murder? Jesus, you know, Falwell, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate Falwell? Just specifically Jerry Falwell. It is deep and abiding. It's the kind of hate that if I had to give it a color, it would be kind of crimson purpley around the edges and swollen. You understand what I'm saying? It's awful hatred. How about the books by O'Reilly and Savage and Hannity and who else? All of these little pissants who have found a wonderful niche in which they do their marketing, and that is the niche of lies, distortions, half-truths. How about the Pig Man's book? Why don't the Republicans ever scream and froth and pee their pants where it concerns someone on their side of hell writing and distorting and filming and lying and cheating and distorting and lying and filming and cheating and distorting and lying and filming? Why not? Huh? Why not?
Why not? Oh, Jesus. And why don't the Democrats respond? Why doesn't the DNC? Well, I know why. Because it makes us look like fools. But maybe, I don't know, maybe we should. Maybe when DC 911 came out, sounds like a crippled aircraft, doesn't it? Here comes a DC 911. Watch out. Oh, Jesus, it's going to crash into the Pentagon, maybe. Who knows? When that came out, you know, Democrats just kind of went, oh, my God, you're kidding me. Oh, no. They're painting this little twerp as though he said, hey, terrorists want a piece of my ass, they can come on over and I'll give it to them. Or whatever he said, something like that. Here's the, listen to this. Ed Gillespie, chairman of the Republican National Committee, sent the following letter today to Leslie Moonves, president of CBS Television.
I have recently seen reports about the upcoming CBS miniseries, The Reagans, and I'm concerned that its portrayal of our 40th president, Mrs. Reagan, and the Reagan presidency may not be historically accurate. A CBS statement describes the series as, quote, programming that informs, entertains, and hopefully steers meaningful discourse, quote, unquote. But if your series contains omissions, exaggerations, distortions, or scenes that are fiction masquerading as fact, the American people may come away with a misunderstanding of the Reagans and the Reagan administration. Those graduating from college this year are only about 5 years old when President Reagan left office, and this broadcast will have a significant impact on their understanding of his legacy.
What? You think people that age, you jack-legged freak, are going to be sitting there watching something about Mr. Alzheimer's and his crazy wife? Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Ronnie. Get me pregnant again like you did all those years ago. Oh, my God.
One producer, still in the letter, one producer, Neil Marin, said,
this is not a vendetta. This is not revenge. It's about telling a good story in our honest sort of way.
I'm not sure honest sort of way meets a proper standard for historical accuracy. It's reported that a playwright who wrote the final version of the script acknowledged there was no evidence, for example, that President Reagan ever said,
they that live in sin shall die in sin.
To avoid any confusion as to what constitutes treating the President, Ms. Reagan, and the Reagan administration in an honest sort of way, I respectfully request you allow a team of historians to review the program for historical accuracy and a panel of people who actually know the Reagans personally to review it for accuracy and its portrayal of them as individuals before it is aired. If you're unwilling to do so, then you're just a rotten son of a bitch, and I respectfully request that you inform your viewers via a crawl every 10 minutes that the program is a fictional portrayal of the Reagans, and they should not consider it to be historically accurate. Public exposure of an improper implication caused you to delete from the program itself a scene that was included in a very limited promotional release, it would be reassuring to know that the program in its entirety had been subject to review for accuracy. I feel confident the American people would appreciate your clarity, and it would go a long way toward the meaningful discourse that you desire.
Oh, Jesus, don't you just want to grab these people and, pardon the expression, no sexism implied here, just bitch slap them, huh? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to get Ed Gillespie and just go, whap, 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 with a wet towel on his naked little butt? That would be, oh, my God, just take it again, Ed. Go ahead. You like that, Ed, huh? Huh? Is that pleasure or pain, Ed? I can't tell. Oh, you like it, huh? Ah, you want to crawl across the bottom of the screen? There, how's that for a crawl? Billy Bob, uh-oh. Oh, Jesus. Billy Bob is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, should I call you Mr. Bob or just Billy Bob?
Well, actually, that's my alter ego, Billy Bob. I'm Michael in Santa Fe. And once in a while, every Halloween.
Yeah.
My alter ego, Billy Bob, comes back. So I'm a pretty progressive, you know, guitar playing and rock and roll band kind of guy. But on Halloween, weird things happen. And,
is he out tonight?
Yeah, he's right here. Hold on.
All right, bring him on.
Okay. Did this Mike Malloy, that liberal guy?
It is.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, you know what? Trent Lott has it right, and you liberals have it wrong.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan's, you know, foreign policy is right. Just mow him down.
No, that was Trent Lott.
I know, but Ronald Reagan, that's what he did. He just mowed them down.
Yeah.
See, guys don't understand. You just got to mow them down, go in and take them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Central America, you know all the people you talk about died? They was communists.
Yeah, well, no, they were just Nicaraguans.
Well, same thing.
Oh.
Same thing.
Okay.
You know, they was all communists down there, and they were going to invade Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what would have happened if they would have invaded Texas? Well, hell, we wouldn't have George W. Bush as president right now.
It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Because God chose him. So that's what I see. Oh, hold on. Get out of here. Sorry about that, Michael.
That's all right. That's okay.
I spent too much time in the Lake of the Ozarks, so.
Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's what happens once in a while. Sorry, I'll let you go. I need to get back to my party. And
all right.
We're having fun listening to you.
Thanks for checking in, Billy Bob.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Is that the guy that used to know? Is that the guy that used to call from Lake of the Ozarks when I was on WLS, Kathy? Remember? He used to sit out in back. He was I don't think it's the same guy, but there was this guy who lived in Lake of the Ozarks. Or somewhere in the Ozark Mountains. And he had a very calm kind of almost lulling voice, and he would call out and say, "Mike, you know, I'm sitting here just oiling up my 303 Enfield, and I like your program, Mike. I really do. You know, I'm not really a liberal, but I'm more of a libertarian, and I like your stance on guns. And you ever seen a 303 Enfield?" And I used to say stuff like, "No, but I heard you. I understand you can drop a water buffalo with it, but no, I've never fired one. The biggest caliber weapon I've ever fired was a 30 caliber. One was a 30-30, one's a 30-06. But he used to call from the Ozarks, and he was always calling from outside. You could hear crickets and stuff in the background, you know, and he would be sitting out back. He said, "Yeah, I got an old abandoned bus that sits back here, old school bus. And sometimes at night, I'll come out here and sit in the moonlight, and my wife and kids are inside." And really a nice guy. I really liked him, and I just wonder whatever happened to him. Bill is calling from Columbia, Maryland. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Nice to talk to you again.
Good to hear from you, sir.
I didn't call about the Reagan thing, but I did want to mention that I'm still pissed off that he had the audacity to call the Contra thugs the moral equivalent to our founding fathers.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Oh, my God. The just absolute killers, bank robbers, and bunco artists who were put together by Oliver North and Reagan. Again, they pee all over everything that's sacrosanct or holy in this country, like the memory of the framers of the U.S. Constitution, and to refer to people like Adolfo Calero as the somehow the moral equivalent of Thomas Jefferson. I remember I just wanted to go ballistic.
Yeah, just absolutely outrageous.
It is.
And you know, Bob Schaefer of CBS News co-authored a book called The Acting President that mentioned the index card crib notes that he picks up, and he wouldn't know what head of state he was meeting.
Right.
But I guess they're just kind of laying down these days.
It was just awful. It was just awful.
But what I called to mention, a couple things. I don't know if I can get to both of them, but it just occurred to me, it's not very ingenious, but, you know, the Nazis smeared their components with sex scandals.
Yeah, that's right.
They effectively controlled the media to exclude other points of views.
Right.
The mass majority of their countrymen were apparently blind to the danger of their totally delusional leaders, while a lot of people overseas were not.
Right.
It sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
And it doesn't seem like very hyperbolic either, considering that, you know, we have would-be assassins like Gordon Liddy with national radio shows,
felons like
Poindexter given positions of enormous power, and, of course, the delusional, born-again, brain-dead people like Ashcroft's and
you know,
just wackos like Boykin.
I mean, it
doesn't even seem hyperbolic.
No, I certainly understand. And another thing, and not to trivialize the Holocaust or the horror that was perpetrated against the Jews, but it's almost like the Bush crime family and all of their spokesmen and spokeswomen in media are trying their damnedest to set liberals or Democrats up for, if not the same time, certainly not death camps, I wouldn't think, not at this point. And I'm, again, I'm not trying to trivialize the Holocaust, but if you listen to the rhetoric, the historical rhetoric early on, I'm talking about 32, 33, 34, before Kristallnacht in Germany, I hear echoes of the same kind of nasty-ass comments that began the Holocaust. Once the death camps were built and the final solution was being put into motion, then it was a whole different ballgame. But those early I shouldn't say ballgame about the Holocaust. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, right. and that was kind of my point. There's psychological similarities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I still hope we live in a society, where you can't just blatantly assassinate all your opponents and go totally wacko. But
you wonder. Now, what was the other thing?
The other thing was kind of like on a more personal note. I know you've mentioned a couple of things. Well, what can we do about it? And one answer that keeps coming up is, well, tell the people that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Air your point of view. Try to explain to them. And
yeah, that's true. Sure.
A couple of things happened to me, Kai, recently. At where I work, I sent an email message out sharing with just people I've known for quite a few years, sharing a little 9/11 write-up that some of the victims of 9/11 did from Peaceful Tomorrows. I don't know if you've seen that website.
Yeah, I have.
But they had a really beautiful little thing, I thought, about sharing, compassion and the loss with people in Afghanistan and Iraq and visiting them, and we're all mothers and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of people actually, I don't think the people I sent it to, but some people apparently saw it and complained to personnel about me.
Hmm.
So that was a little disturbing.
God, yeah.
And another thing, I won't give you a whole litany of things, but I've been out there shooting my mouth off. And sometimes my wife says, don't say that. And I say, I'm going to say it. I believe it. I'm going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
If they come and get me, they're going to come and get me.
Mm-hmm.
But one other little tiny pistache is there's a local pub I go to once in a while. I was talking with some friends about Bush and what a liar he is. And someone comes up and goes, what are you talking about Bush like that for? And I said, well, what about the Iraq situation? What about the weapons of mass destruction? Well, what about Al-Qaeda? I started listing things. And he just listened for a while, and then I stopped, and then he said, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, right.
And that's a good response. You got a good point there. Maybe I'll reconsider my views.
That's the default position.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Right. And what do you do with that? So,
You carry your gun with you. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, So I might have to, I might have to get into a fight here run. But it's just that kind of mentality out here.
Yeah, running would be better. No, I'm serious. The last time I got into a fight was a bar, and it was pretty hideous. And I have to say, I just got the living hell beat out of me, and it was all because it's a bar setting. And when you're in a bar setting with the alcohol and the people and everybody's on, the Johnny Walker Red is doing all the talking it's no good. If I had that to do over again, if somebody threatened me in a bar now, I'd say, you're right. I'm just a real jackass. And I'd walk out the door. Of course, I would go home and get my .303 Enfield and sit across the street with a scope on it, wait till the bastard came out to go home and drop him.
Well, I hope not. But you know what? They don't even want to talk about politics.
I hear you.
They want to talk about sports.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for checking in, Bill.
All right, thanks.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening. Oh, God, I'm talking about dropping people. That brings taxi driver number 12 just immediately to the program.
How you doing there?
I'm doing all right.
I'm just driving around here in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Listening to all the liberals and driving all the liberals around.
Yeah.
If any liberal wants to call up and request driver number 12, I'll be working here till 2 a.m.
Okay. Anybody in Santa Fe who needs a cab driver, if you're a liberal, call and ask for driver number 12, all right?
Yeah, and also, you know what else?
What?
303, it might be able to drop a bison. I don't know if it could drop a water buffalo, though. I think maybe you need like a 30-06 for a water buffalo.
You don't think a 303 Enfield would do it, huh?
It might if you hit him broad, like in the. But water buffalo are pretty well armored there.
Well, but you get him in the lung.
Yeah, you're right. If it bounced off that big old head of theirs, it might not do the trick.
Okay, all right. How about a wildebeest then?
Sure, there we go. I mean, like the size of a 303 Enfield is about the size of a small carrot, but it's not as fast as the modern stuff.
I gotcha. Okay, all right.
Okay.
What's the biggest one you've ever killed?
The biggest thing I've ever shot was a 200-pound halibut with a 410. Believe it or not, in Alaska.
You shot a fish?
Well, when you're up there, I used to be a deckhand on boats. And
you shot a fish?
Yep. Anything over about 150 pounds, you had to take the 410 out because those things will get underneath it and they will throw you right in the water.
So you shot a fish with a shotgun.
It's like whaling. It's like Captain Ahab.
Hey, hold on a second. I'll come back in a minute. I can't believe this. My man shot a fish.
Ow!
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a.
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a.
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
The best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Play the mash.
They making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
They caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the moms.
Hey, we're just about out of time, but we're talking with taxi driver number 12 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Now, where were we?
We were that. I used to be a deckhand out of Boat Up in Alaska.
Oh, that's right. And you were shooting fish with a 410 shotgun. Yeah.
You had to use like a 41 or a 44 single action. And the reason being, actually, I'll even embellish the story a little bit. I'll give you a real good fish story here. Anything over about 150 pounds. You have a gaff and a harpoon and a gun on board.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you bring them up with the hook, and then the skipper goes over with the harpoon, which has a big long rope on it, and you shoot the harpoon through them. Then you lash them to the boat. Then you give the skipper the gun, or you know, if you're feeling lucky, you do it yourself, and you blow a hole in their head. Then you bring them on the deck. Then you beat them with a bat. Those things are so stupid, and they're nothing but muscle.
They don't die right away.
They don't die right away?
They don't die right away.
I heard. Oh, jeez. Hey, well, listen, how's everything in Santa Fe? We're about out of time here.
It's getting going. I'm just getting all the crazies in car right now, and I'll be here in about 2 or 3, so please request number 12. I got the big old van tonight.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you. Take care. Anybody out in Santa Fe that needs a taxi cab, ask for number 12. What, is there one cab company in Santa Fe? And you call up, say, I want number 12. Oh, man. Jay Bilecki engineered for us tonight in Detroit. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Check it out. Go there. Thanks to all our magnificent moderators at the website. Program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Day. And our announcer is Robin Bittman. Now, Tony Trupiano is going to be substituting for me Monday and Tuesday. Because Monday, I'm going into detox for 48 hours to try to get off of OxyContin. I told you it was so funny. The surgeon who's going to do this dental work, he gave me 3 prescriptions. He said, here, take these antibiotics. Here's some stuff for the nausea. Oh, and by the way, here's some hydrocodone for the pain. I looked at that and said, oh, man, I don't believe this. I wanted oxycodone. So it's going to be bad, and when I come in here Wednesday night, I'm probably going to be talking like that. But, you know, it has to be done. Kitties, brush your teeth. Do what your mommy tells you to do. Floss. Oh, my God. I grew up in an era when they told us that fluoride in the water was a communist plot. Now I'm suffering. Now I'm suffering. I'll see y'all Wednesday, I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, wherever you are, Kevin Kinney.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2002.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you